History remembers many fragmented German states. A key role in their unification was played by a country that no longer exists on today's political map, but without which modern Germany would not exist. This refers to Prussia, a nation that for centuries was at the center of Europe's historical events. The Baltic branch of the Indo-European language family began settling the region that would later be called Prussia, in honor of one of its tribes even before the Great Migration. These tribes inhabited the lands of modern-day northern Poland, the Kaliningrad region of Russia, and parts of Lithuania. Early mentions of them appear in ancient sources such as the works of Tacitus, who referred to them as Aesti. The term Prussians appears later in chronicles around the 12th century. The exact origin of the word remains unclear, but it is likely a self-designation. These Baltic tribes remained independent for a long time, despite their lands being subject to raids by Germanic and Slavic peoples. They did not form a full-fledged state, as they lacked centralized governance or administrative institutions. The Prussians were a typical European tribe. They lived a settled lifestyle, engaged in agriculture, animal husbandry, hunting, and fishing. They built wooden houses surrounded by ramparts or ditches to protect against attacks. Their economy was primarily based on grain cultivation, livestock farming, particularly horse breeding, and amber trade, a vital resource of the region. The tribal elders and military leaders wielded the most influence. The Prussians often formed alliances to defend their lands or to attack neighbors, but they lacked a centralized army or regular armed forces, making their territories vulnerable to more organized communities. Additionally, the Prussians used simple weapons, such as spears, axes, and bows, and wore lightweight leather or fabric armor. The language of the Prussians belonged to the Baltic group and was closely related to modern Latvian and Lithuanian. Unfortunately, it eventually disappeared entirely due to the Germanization and assimilation of the region's population. Knowledge of Old Prussian has reached us through a few written records. Before their Christianization, the Prussians practiced paganism. One of their most significant deities was Patolo, god of death and the underworld, as well as Perkunas, god of thunder and lightning, and Potrimpo, god of the seas and crops. They also revered sacred trees, springs, and stones. The Prussian priests were called Vaidelotas. The central site of their worship was the sacred grove of Ramave, where, according to legend, a shrine dedicated to the supreme god was located. The Prussians were constantly under pressure from their neighbors, the Slavs, Germans, and Lithuanians. During the early Middle Ages, they frequently raided neighboring lands and faced retaliatory attacks. At the beginning of the 8th century, a battle occurred in southern Nottangia between the Prussians and the Masurian tribe. The Prussians emerged victorious and established the trade and craft center of Trusso at the center of the Nogat River, near modern-day Elblag. However, by the late 9th century, Trusso was destroyed by the Vikings, and in the late 10th century, the lands of the Prussians were successfully invaded by the Rus, led by Volodymyr I Sviatoslavich and the Poles under Mieszko I. Volodymyr I Sviatoslavich, seeking to strengthen Rus influence in the northwest, conducted military campaigns in the Baltic region, possibly targeting Prussian lands among others. Simultaneously, Mieszko I, the ruler of Poland, began a policy of territorial expansion, which included the conquest of neighboring lands, particularly the pagan territories to the northeast of his domains. The Prussians themselves regularly raided their neighbors, particularly the Poles. Over the following centuries, they did not establish a centralized state, but became significantly better organized, and through trade, gained access to modern weaponry. Due to the forested terrain, the dispersed nature of the Prussians, and their decentralization, the Poles could neither negotiate with them effectively nor completely subdue them. This led to a pivotal event in the 13th century that drastically shaped the development of the entire region. In 1226, Polish Duke Konrad of Mazovia invited the Teutonic Order to combat the Prussians. The order initiated a long and brutal war against the Prussians. Konrad granted the order the lands of Chełmno between the Vistula and Derwicze rivers and promised further support. The choice of the Teutonic Order was driven by its reputation as a powerful military force. The Teutonic Order was established in the late 12th century during the Third Crusade. Initially, it focused on caring for wounded and sick pilgrims in the Holy Land, but over time, it evolved into a military religious organization similar to the Templars and Hospitallers. The Order already had experience fighting against nomadic tribes in the Holy Land and Hungary. Since the Teutonic Knights were foreigners, Duke Konrad of Mazovia assumed that they would not establish deep roots in the region and would eventually become dependent on him. Nevertheless, he miscalculated. Thanks to the Golden Bull issued by Emperor Frederick II in the same year, 1226, the Teutonic Order was granted sovereignty over the territories it conquered. This effectively allowed it to create its own state, which later became a significant threat to Polish lands and neighboring countries. The conquest of Prussia by the Teutonic Order lasted several decades. The order relied on military force, constructing castles at strategic locations. Early castles such as Thon and Marienburg became centers of the order's administrative power. The Prussians fiercely resisted, employing guerrilla tactics and forming alliances with the Lithuanians and even with Eastern Pomerania, which had rebelled against the Teutonic Knights between 1242 and 1249. However, the Prussians were ultimately subdued by the mid-13th century. Despite this, they managed to organize the Great Prussian Uprising under the leadership of Hercus Monti. Having received an education in German lands, Hercus attempted to use his knowledge to organize resistance. Yet, his efforts proved insufficient against the powerful knightly order, and the uprising was ultimately crushed. The territories of Prussia became the foundation for the state of the Teutonic Order. The Prussians were Christianized, their lands were colonized by German settlers, and the people gradually assimilated. By the 14th century, only isolated ethnic groups of Baltic Prussians remained, and they too eventually merged into German and Polish cultures. Still, their history left a mark in toponymy, archaeological artifacts, and literary sources, while the name Prussia endured as a significant political term. The Teutonic Order was a powerful organization composed primarily of knights, monks, and priests of German origin. The knights took vows of poverty, celibacy, and obedience, yet they were well-organized and experienced warriors. The order had a centralized administrative structure headed by the Grand Master. In addition to military activities, the order managed administrative and economic affairs in the conquered territories. They achieved victory on the battlefield due to their discipline, training, and modern weaponry. In this region, the knights pursued an aggressive expansionist policy that threatened the Kingdom of Poland, the Grand Duchy of Lithuania, and, to a lesser extent, Kievan Rus. Initially, however, the knights fought against the Baltic tribes as they were the last to maintain their pagan faith in Europe. In 1337, the Teutonic Order defeated the last strongholds of resistance from the Prussians. The battle took place in present-day Latvia. In 1348, in the Battle of Strava, the Teutonic Order defeated the forces of the Lithuanians. This was one of many clashes in the ongoing struggle between the Teutonic Order and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania for control over the lands along the Baltic Sea. The victory strengthened the position of the Teutonic Order in the northwest of Prussia and secured additional territories for settlement by German colonists. The Grand Duchy of Lithuania, the last powerful pagan state in Europe, was forced to seek allies among its Christian neighbors, who were also threatened by the knights, namely the Poles and Ruthenians. The Teutonic Order continued its successful offensive. The order clashed with Lithuanian forces led by the princes Kęstutis and Lubart. The Teutons emerged victorious, which allowed them to strengthen their positions in the region. The Lithuanians, under the command of Prince Kęstutis, attempted a counterattack, including a raid on the borderlands controlled by the Order, which culminated in the Battle of Rudau. However, the Order triumphed once again, inflicting significant losses on the Lithuanian army. In an effort to strengthen its position, the Grand Duchy of Lithuania entered into the Union of Krajów with the Kingdom of Poland in 1385. The alliance required Grand Duke Jogaila of Lithuania to baptize Lithuania, adopt the Catholic faith, and marry the Polish queen Jadwiga. Though this did not stop the aggressive Teutonic Order, which sought to expand its territory and influence in the region. Many cities founded by the order remain major settlements to this day, such as Danzig, Königsberg, and Elbing. The lands were colonized by settlers from German territories, and the cities and fortresses became fortified centers of the knights. The state of the Teutonic Order transformed into one of the most powerful entities in the Baltic Sea region. Numerous battles and skirmishes with neighbors culminated in the Great War of 1409 to 1411, which began with a rebellion in Samogitia, a disputed region on the border between Lithuania and the Teutonic Order. The outcome of this war, declared by the Teutonic Knights against Poland and Lithuania, would determine the future not only of the region, but of Eastern Europe as a whole. The climax of the conflict was the decisive Battle of Grunwald, fought on July 15, 1410, one of the largest and most significant battles of medieval Europe. The Battle of Grunwald saw two massive armies clash, each composed of troops from various countries and regions. The alliance between Poland and Lithuania assembled an army under the personal command of Polish King Władysław II Jagiello and Grand Duke of Lithuania Vytautas. The combined forces numbered approximately 39,000 soldiers. The core of the army consisted of Polish, Lithuanian, and Rus units. They were also supported by the Czech, Tatar, Moldovan, and Hungarian mercenaries. The Polish army had around 20,000 heavily armored knights, while the Lithuanian forces included 10,000 light cavalry. The Teutonic Order, led by Grand Master Ulrich von Jungingen, fielded an army of about 27,000 soldiers, including order knights, mercenaries from Western Europe, and levies from controlled territories. A victory for the Order could have ensured further expansion and strengthened its power in the Baltic region. For Poland and Lithuania, the battle was a fight for survival and a desperate attempt to halt the Order's aggression. The battle took place near the village of Grunwald in present-day Poland. The Allied army gathered on the morning of July 15th and took positions in the forests, which made it difficult for the Order's forces to maneuver. The Teutonic Order army positioned itself in the open field, awaiting an attack. The battle began when Ulrich von Jungingen sent his messengers to Jagiello with two swords, challenging him to combat. Jagiello initiated the attack. Vytautas' forces from the Grand Duchy of Lithuania and the Kingdom of Rus struck first on the right flank. The Teutons withstood this attack, and Vytautas resorted to a tactical trick. He feigned retreat to lure some of the Teutonic cavalry into an ambush. This diverted part of the Order's forces, but did not break their positions. On the central and left flanks, Polish forces engaged in fierce combat with the heavy cavalry of the Order. The Teutonic Knights advanced on Polish positions, but they were able to halt their progress. The situation for the Poles became critical, but Jagiello wisely kept a reserve of Ukrainian and Tatar warriors. At the decisive moment, they attacked the Teutons from the right flank and delivered a devastating blow to the exposed positions of the Order. Thanks to heavy cavalry, the Polish forces struck at the center, trapping the Knights. Ulrich von Jungingen personally led the Order's counterattack, but he was killed in battle. This shattered the morale of the Teutons, and their forces began to retreat. Most of the Order's knights, including the command, were killed. The Lithuanian-Polish army pursued the fleeing enemy all the way to Marienburg. The castle was not captured due to a lack of resources and time. All the same, even without capturing the castle, the Battle of Grunwald became a decisive victory for the Polish-Lithuanian alliance. They dealt a crushing blow to the Teutonic Order, which never regained its former power. The war ended with the Peace of Torun in 1411, under which the Order lost part of its territories and paid a huge tribute. Poland and Lithuania strengthened their positions in Eastern Europe. Throughout the 15th century, the Teutonic Order continued to gradually lose control over its territories due to internal disputes, economic difficulties, and conflicts with neighboring states. One of the most significant stages in its later history was the Polish-Teutonic confrontation, which culminated in the 13 Years' War. The Prussian cities and nobility, dissatisfied with high taxes and the centralized policy of the order, sought support from Poland, which was once again able to finally defeat its old enemy. Under the Second Peace of Torun in 1466, Prussia was divided. The western part, known as Royal Prussia, became part of the Kingdom of Poland as a crown duchy. It included the lands of Pomerania, Gdansk-Pomerania, the areas around Gdansk, Torun, and Elbląg, which developed as trade centers. This part of Prussia was granted some autonomy in governance, retaining its own laws, administration, and mint. The autonomy was advantageous for the Polish kings, as it allowed them to avoid unnecessary conflicts with the local elites, mostly of German origin. Royal Prussia could elect its representatives to the Polish Sejm, but the Polish king retained the right to make final decisions on the most important matters. During these years, Gdansk played a particularly important role, becoming the largest port of the Commonwealth and a key trading hub in the Baltic. The Duchy of Prussia, which occupied the eastern part of the former Teutonic Order's lands, remained under the control of the Teutonic Order, but acknowledged itself as a vassal of the Polish king. The position of the order in the Duchy of Prussia was difficult due to the economic and political decline following the defeat in the war. Furthermore, the Teutonic Order faced internal contradictions and the challenges of the Reformation, which significantly influenced its situation at the beginning of the 16th century. As a result, in 1525, the last Grand Master, Albert, who was a relative of the Polish King Sigismund I the Old and also descended from the Brandenburg aristocrat Hohenzollern family, adopted Lutheranism and transformed the order's holdings into the secular Duchy of Prussia. Albert became the first Duke of Prussia, and the order itself effectively ceased to exist as a military religious organization. This act of secularization was confirmed in the Treaty of Krakow in the same year, under which the Duchy of Prussia remained a vassal of the Polish kingdom. Albert Hohenzollern worked actively on administrative reforms and the development of the duchy's economy, becoming one of the prominent political leaders of his time. After his death in 1568, the Duchy of Prussia passed under the rule of his son, Albert Friedrich, who suffered from a mental disorder. Upon his death in 1618, he left no male heirs. Still, he had a daughter, Anna, who married the son of the Elector of Brandenburg, John III Sigismund, from the Brandenburg branch of the House of Hohenzollern. Thus, this dynasty retained power in the Duchy of Prussia and managed to unite it with Brandenburg in a union. A rather peculiar situation emerged. The Duchy of Prussia was part of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, and its ruler had to be a vassal of the Polish crown. On the other hand, the electorate of Brandenburg and the House of Hohenzollern, which ruled it, were former vassals of the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation, and were part of the political structure of that state. At the same time, both vassalages were quite conditional. The Holy Roman Empire was a decentralized state where the title of emperor was prestigious but did not grant significant power over its vassals. In the Commonwealth, the monarchy was elective, and the rights of the nobility were exceptionally broad. Therefore, the complex vassal dependence did not lead to conflict. On the contrary, it was beneficial. Since the Duchy of Prussia was formally a vassal territory of the Commonwealth, it did not participate actively in military actions during the 30 Years' War. Meanwhile, the electorate of Brandenburg actively supported other Protestant states, though it acted cautiously in the early stages. The Hohenzollern sought to strengthen their position in the empire. In 1640, power in Brandenburg and Prussia passed to the talented Frederick William Hohenzollern, known as the Great Elector. His active actions and support for Sweden and France allowed Brandenburg to gain significant benefits after the 30 Years' War. Frederick William became the Duke of Magdeburg, Prince of Halberstadt, and Prince of Minden. Frederick William actively developed the army, which became one of the strongest in Europe. He reformed the armed forces, making them regular and introducing a strict military regime. This period was marked by the creation of a strong bureaucratic system that ensured the centralization of governance and efficient tax collection, which enabled the financing of military campaigns. After Frederick William gained significant authority and influence among European monarchs, he was able to continue strengthening his positions and raise the status of his possessions. Frederick William sought to free the Duchy of Prussia from the vassalage of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, so he supported Sweden during the War of 1655 to 1660, known as the Swedish Deluge. Charles X Gustav occupied the Duchy of Prussia, forcing Frederick William to support the Swedes in their advance deeper into the Commonwealth. The Great Elector's forces won a decisive victory over the Commonwealth forces in a three-day battle near Warsaw. This strengthened Frederick William's authority, and he received sovereignty over the Duchy of Prussia from Charles X Gustav. Nonetheless, the Elector needed to obtain this sovereignty directly from the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. As a result, he began negotiations to switch sides in the conflict. In 1657, Brandenburg and the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth signed the Treaty of Wehlau-Bydgoszcz, under which Frederick William had to cease supporting the Swedes, and in return, he received full sovereignty over the Duchy of Prussia from the King of the Commonwealth. The duchy became de facto independent. Royal Prussia in the 17th century followed a completely different path. The cities of Gdansk, Torun, and Elbląg were important trading centers through which Polish grain was exported to Western Europe. Gdansk was the wealthiest port in Poland. Politically, Royal Prussia enjoyed considerable autonomy, maintaining its own laws and traditions. Nevertheless, the region suffered greatly from the Swedish deluge. The Swedes captured many cities in Royal Prussia, including Gdansk and Torun, but these territories were freed after the signing of the Treaty of Oliva in 1660. The war caused significant damage to the region's economy, but Gdansk remained an important center of trade. Thus, in the 17th century, both Prussias underwent political and economic changes. The Duchy of Prussia emerged from under Poland's influence and laid the foundations for the creation of the Prussian monarchy, while Royal Prussia remained an important part of Poland until the three partitions of the Commonwealth. The two Prussias had numerous differences. The Duchy of Prussia became predominantly Protestant, with a strong emphasis on Lutheranism as a part of the Hohenzollern policy. Catholics lived only in certain areas, particularly among Polish or Lithuanian communities. The ethnic composition of the population was diverse. A significant portion consisted of German settlers, but there were also descendants of the Prussians and Western Slavs. The Hohenzollerns, who ruled as Dukes of Prussia, maintained ties with the German lands, particularly Brandenburg. And as a result, the cultural development of the duchy was generally directed toward preserving German identity, which was reflected in the arts. Royal Prussia was integrated into the Polish kingdom, so there were many Polish and Lithuanian settlements there. Although Protestantism gradually spread in this region, Catholicism was more popular. Ethnically, while Polish culture dominated in many cities, there was a significant influence from Germans and Lithuanians. However, after the Treaty of Wehlau-Bydgoszcz in 1657, the connections between the two parts of Prussia began to strengthen. The last Duke of Prussia was Frederick III. Neighboring rulers became kings. Frederick Augustus II of Saxony became King of Poland, and George, Elector of Hanover, was set to inherit the English throne after Queen Anne. Frederick III also had royal ambitions, so he agreed to support Emperor Leopold I of the Habsburgs in the War of the Spanish Succession against France. In response, Leopold I recognized the change in the status of the Hohenzollerns. In 1701, Frederick I was crowned as the first King of Prussia. An important nuance was that the title of king applied specifically to the territories that were outside the Holy Roman Empire. Brandenburg remained part of the empire and under its jurisdiction. Thus, the Hohenzollerns had a dual status, as sovereign monarchs in Prussia and as imperial electors within Brandenburg. At the beginning of the 18th century, the young Kingdom of Prussia faced difficulties due to the extravagance of its first monarch. On the other hand, his successor, Frederick William I, reorganized state influences, implemented a strict economy, and through discipline in the government institutions, he overcame corruption. Thanks to his efforts, Prussia gained a professional army and a relatively stable economy, and the country's political influence continued to grow. During the Great Northern War, Prussia did not actively participate in the fighting, but its army defended the borders from potential Swedish attacks. Prussia was an ally of Peter I and provided the Russian Empire with material and military resources. In 1740, power was inherited by Frederick II of Hohenzollern, later known as Frederick the Great, for his numerous achievements. Under his leadership, Prussia transformed into one of the strongest military states in Europe, and the king himself gained a reputation as a talented military leader and reformer. Frederick II had military ambitions as well. After the death of the previous head of the Habsburg house, Charles VI, their state went through a period of instability. His successor, Maria Theresa, was the first woman on the throne. Taking advantage of the uncertainty surrounding her status, Frederick II attacked Silesia, which was a wealthy and industrially important region. Thus, Frederick II initiated the War of Austrian Succession. The Habsburgs sought to reclaim lost territories, supported by Saxony, ruled by Elector Augustus III, who was also the King of the Commonwealth at the time. Another opponent of Prussia was the French Kingdom. Yet, thanks to an effective army and the exceptional talent of Frederick II as a military leader, he successfully held on to Silesia throughout the conflict, repelling attacks from all enemies. The Treaty of Aix-la-Chapelle ultimately secured this territory for Prussia, giving it control over the Oder River. This victory gave a significant boost to Prussia's economy and elevated its authority among other German states to a new level. Nevertheless, from that point on, the Habsburgs, France, Saxony, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth under Augustus III, and the Russian Empire, allied with the Habsburgs, saw Prussia as a dangerous adversary. To mitigate this threat, Frederick II managed to form an alliance with England and Hanover, but tensions continued to rise until they erupted in the Seven Years' War. The Kingdom of Prussia, with its military, economic, and diplomatic resources, was fully prepared to establish itself as one of the most powerful states in Europe.